Blog Talk Radio.
From Thomas Jefferson, who was ambassador to France and built his house in Monticello, based on the building he loved in Paris, to Hemingway's novel, Movable Feast, celebrating the capital city of France, from our great 19th century French writer Chateaubriand, bringing to the French people the dream of Americans' open spaces, forests, and mountains, to Faulkner's novels, crafted in the Deep South, but first read in France, where they quickly gained literary praise. From jazz, coming from Louisiana, and the blues from Mississippi, finding in France an enthusiastic public, to the American fascination for impressionists and the French modern and contemporary art. These exchanges are vibrant in so many fields, from cinema to fashion, from design to high cuisine, from sports to visual arts. Medicine and scientific research, as well as business and innovation, are also a significant part of our shared journey. The United States is France's first scientific partner. Our economic ties create hundreds of thousands of jobs on both sides of the Atlantic. The story of France and the United States is a story of an endless dialogue, made of common dreams, of a common struggle for dignity and progress. It is the best achievement of our democratic principles and values. This is this very special relationship. This is us. But we must remember the warning of President Theodore Roosevelt. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, handed on for them to do the same. This is an urgent reminder indeed. Because now, going beyond our bilateral ties, beyond our very special relationship, Europe and the United States must face together the global challenges of this century. And we cannot take for granted our transatlantic history and bonds. At the core, our Western values themselves are at risk. We have to succeed facing these challenges. And we cannot succeed in forgetting our principles and our history. In fact, the 21st century has brought a series of new threats and new challenges that our ancestors might not ever have imagined. Our strongest beliefs are challenged by the rise of a yet unknown new world order. Our societies are concerned about the future of their children. All of us gathered here in this noble chamber, we, elected officials, all share the responsibility to demonstrate that democracy remains the best answer to the questions and doubts that are raised today. Even if the foundations of our progress are disrupted, we must stand firmly and fight to make our principles prevail. But we bear another responsibility inherited from our collective history. Today, The international community needs to step up our game and build the 21st century world order based on the perennial principles we established together after World War II. The rule of law, the fundamental values on which we secured peace for 70 years, are now questioned by urgent issues that require our joint action. Together with our international allies and partners, we are facing inequalities created by globalization, threats to the planet, our common good, attacks on democracy through the rise of liberalism, and the destabilization of our international community by new powers and criminal states. All these risks aggrieve our citizens. Both in the United States and in Europe, we are living in a time of anger and fear because of this current global threat. But these feelings do not build anything. You can play with fears and angers for a time, but they do not construct anything. Anger only freezes and weakens us. And as Franklin Delano Roosevelt said during his first inaugural speech, the only thing we have to fear, it is fear itself.
Understand how dishonest the news is. And in all fairness to Fox, you guys don't always treat me great, but you treat me fairly. You know, it's not like Fox is perfect for me. They're not. They're tough, but at least it's fair. When you look at some of the others, you look at like a CNN, they'll have a council of seven people. And of the seven people, every one of them is against me. I'm saying, where do they even find these people?
I'm not your doctor, Mr. President, but I would recommend you watch less of them.
I don't watch them at all.
I watched last night.
I tell you what, I watched Leakin' Lion Comey last night, and I did. I hated to do it. You know, one of the reasons people say you're still looking good, Mr. President. How do you do it? Well, one of the things I've been able to do, which is something I never thought I had the ability. I would always watch when I was. Now, frankly, I don't have time for two reasons. There's too much, and I don't have time. But I would watch, whether it's good or bad, I'd always watch. I have an ability. I don't watch NBC anymore. They're as bad as CNN. I don't. And by the way, I made them a fortune with The Apprentice. Think of that one. I made them, and I did
your
nicely
alma mater.
No, but I made them a fortune.
Right.
You would think that these guys would treat me great. I made them a fortune. So they treat me horribly, they treat me falsely. But just one thing. I don't watch things that I can put it out of my mind. And I never, ever thought that that would be possible. And you know what that does? It keeps you on the ball. It keeps you, you keep your sanity. And it works very well. But last night, I did watch A Liar Leaker. And his performance, by the way, was horrible. And I will say this, Anderson Cooper was surprisingly tough, and he did a good job.
He did.
Mr. President, real quickly, have you decided on a date to meet with Kim Jong-un?